Judges chapter 3, if you have your Bibles tonight, Judges chapter 3. If you will, stand with me as we read the Word of God together. We're going to read Judges chapter 3 down from verse 15 down to verse 30. But the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjaminite, a man left-handed. And by him the children of Israel sent a present to Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger, which had two edges of a cubit length, and he girded it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present to Eglon, king of Moab, and Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bare the present. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal and said, I have a secret errand unto thee, O king, who said, Keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat, and Ehud put forth his left hand and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly. And the haft also went after the blade, and the fat closed upon the blade, so that he could not draw the dagger out of his belly, and the dirt came out. And Ehud went forth through the porch and shut the doors of the parlor upon him and locked them. When he was gone out, his servants came, and when they saw that, behold, the doors of the parlor were locked, they said, Surely he covereth his feet in his summer chamber. And they tarried till they were ashamed, and behold, he opened not the doors of the parlor. Therefore they took a key and opened them, and behold, the Lord was fallen down dead on the earth. And Ehud escaped while they tarried, and passed by the quarries, and escaped to Sariath. And it came to pass, when he was come, that he blew a trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mount, and he before them. And he said unto them, Follow after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. And they went down after him, and took the ford of Jordan toward Moab, and they suffered not a man to pass over. And they slew of Moab at that time about 10,000 men, all lusty and all of valor, and there escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for this night you've given us. Thank you for this night to recognize these seniors, Lord. And I just ask that as right now as I preach, you'd speak to their hearts and speak to the hearts of all of us here this evening. Please let your word be presented clearly through me. I thank you for everything. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. As I was preparing to preach tonight, the Lord kept drawing me to this passage, and I kept thinking, no, Lord, that's probably not right for a graduation message. Something along the four Hebrew boys in the book of Daniel, I thought, you know, they're all going out to serve God together, and the Lord just kept drawing me back to this story. And I'm going to admit, this is one of my all-time favorite stories in the Bible, because this is really like the first spy in the Bible, at least that I can understand anyhow was a spy. And this man was called by God to help Israel win a war, to get out of bondage. Israel has been under the hand of Moab for 18 years at this point. They are the slaves of the Moabites. They have to do whatever they want, perhaps fetch water, make bricks. I don't know what they did there. But they, for 18 years, they were under the strict oppression of the Moabites. And finally, they see that it's God's oppression on them through the Moabites, and he calls a deliverer for them as they seek him. And so Ehud is the man that God decides to call. And the Israelites say, hey, here's what we want you to do. It's that time of year. Take a present to the king. And he says, I'm going to do that. This is going to be wonderful. But he has a second plan in mind. God's called him to deliver Israel. So he, to me, this is where I see the spy action coming in. He makes a dagger of 18 inches, which is a very long dagger, by the way. And he hides it on his thigh, his right thigh, because he's left-handed, it says. And he tells the king, he says, I have a present for you. And the king, he gives it to him, and they all leave. And he goes back, and he says, hey, king, I got one more thing we need to talk about. And I'm sure the king's thinking, oh, this is a stately matter. Perhaps he's going to tell me of a traitor in the kingdom. I need to hear what he's got to say. And the king says, all right, everybody, go out. Ehud, don't say anything till everyone's gone. Everyone leaves. Ehud, there alone with him in the king's parlor, takes his knife and he kills the king. And that's the end of that. He shuts the door. He locks it. He flees back towards his country of the Israelites. He gets them. They come down and they win a great war. It's very much a spy story. To me, he is the 007 of the Bible, the very first one we see. Ian Fleming should have used this story, and it would have been a better one that he had. And I think it's an incredible story. So again, when I'm reading this, I'm thinking, how does this apply, Lord? And I kept trying to go to other passages, and God kept guiding me back here. But what I want to see tonight is this man Ehud was a deliverer. He was a leader that was raised up by God to help the children of Israel out of their sin and out of their oppression. This one man was used by God to help an entire nation flee from their sinful ways, flee from the oppression of a sinful king, and to get back in the will of God. And as I was thinking about these graduates tonight and this passage that God directed me to, that's where my mind went. You guys are leaders. You're called to be leaders. Called to be leaders for Christ, out of sin and towards right. And as we study this passage tonight, that's what I want to keep in mind. Ehud was raised up by God to help a sinful nation get back to God. And we need more leaders like this. But as we start tonight, I want to look where they started from. We know that they were in oppression for 18 years. They were under the hand of the Moabites. But look at verse 15 with me once again. It says, "But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer." The children of Israel were in a very bad place. They were living in their own country, but again, another country had come in. They had forces in their country, and they were forcing them to be slaves for the Moabites. And these were people who knew about God. These people were slaves because they fell out of God's will, and yet they knew God. We have seen that most of these people were probably alive under Othniel, the judge who preceded Ehud here. Some of them were probably alive under Joshua. They knew what it was to live godly. They knew what it was to live a godly life, and yet they had fallen away from it. And after 18 years, they finally came to the place to where they realized the problem was not with Moab. The problem was within themselves. They saw that they were sinners. They saw that they had turned away from God, and they began begging God to get back into his presence and out from the oppressive hand of the Moabites. And as Christians tonight, I think we've probably all been there. I think we've all faced situations in our lives where we have got out from the will of God. We have been living a Christian life. We've been living a victorious Christian life, doing right, going forward. And as we're going on in our lives, things start to get our attention and we start to slip away from God. And it happens probably to every Christian at some point in our life. We are not serving God as faithfully now as what we were one point in our lives. And hopefully God gets a hold of us, God gets our attention, and we start seeking God again and begging for him to help us to get back to him. We see it happen in other people's lives. We see it happen to other people in the church or our friends or our family. We see people who are once on fire for God who have now turned away from God, and we begin begging God, please help them to get back in the will of God. I think many people today lament the current generation. You hear a lot of people say, teenagers in my day wouldn't have done this, wouldn't have done that. And it's kind of odd that I'm all of 35 now, and I think teenagers in my day wouldn't have done this and wouldn't have done that, and kind of makes me feel old and feels like something that my dad would have said and my grandpa would have said. Well, I am now in that line of people who say that, so I'm in that club. It's wonderful. But we see a change in people. We see a change in our society, and we pray for our teenagers. We pray for this current generation. I don't even know what the current generation is called. I'm sure somebody knows a name for it. I don't know what it is. It's millennials or something thereafter, probably something else. But we pray for these generations. We see the picture of God's promised land through Israel. They're living in what God calls the promised land, and it's an absolute picture of the Christian life when it's lived right. I love thinking of the promised land, and when I am in the promised land, I am absolutely in God's will, and I am at peace with everything in my life because I know I am living in God's will, and that's what I see the promised land as, and I think that it is a symbol for us and for our country as we think we are a Christian country. For us to get back to being the promised land in the United States of America requires us to be a Christian nation truly once again. Israel lost that place. Israel forgot that they were living in the promised land. They forgot that they were living under the hand of God. And then they saw it and they begged God to get back to that place. And as a country, I think many of us are begging God, help us to get our country back to being the promised land of the United States. And so as we're reading this, we see their plea for help from God. And when they cried for help, let's look at what God did. Look back to verse 15. It says, "But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed, and by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger which had two blades of a cubic length, and he did gird under his raiment upon his right thigh. Israel asked God for help, and God provided them a leader. He provided them someone to show the way back to God. The Israelites had got themselves involved in sin. They got themselves out of God's will. They got themselves trapped under the slavery of the Moabites, all because of sin. And finally, after 18 years, they see this and they beg God, please help us. Please do something for us. And he sends them a leader. And this leader was a godly man that was going to help this nation do right for the next 80 years. Look down to chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead." So they did right until Ehud died. They did right as long as they had a godly leader, somebody guiding them in a right direction. And then you look back to verse 30 of chapter 3, and it says, "So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 80 years. So we know that Ehud was able to be this leader, this godly leader, for 80 years. For 80 years, he encouraged Israel to serve God. They served God so long as they had someone leading in the right direction. And it's not that we have to have a leader to serve God. Think of Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." We only need to look to Christ Jesus to have our needs met. We only need to have him to be able to do right. But over and over and over again in the Bible, we see examples of God helping us to do right through godly leaders. And you think about it, God provided us a church as a leader. The institution itself, this building, doesn't lead us to anything, but he's given us a godly pastor who leads us, that we can look to, that will help us to do right, and that is an institution that's ordained by God. That's why our pastor is here, to preach to us the word of God, to help us to understand things we don't understand, so that we can have him as a godly example to look to, so that we can follow him as we see him living faithfully for God day in and day out. But it's not just the church, it's not just pastor. Our pastor is to lead us as God would have him to lead us as a church, and he's led us, that was very proper. He led us to have a youth group to where we can influence children in our church. And this youth group right here is really a microcosm of the entire church. The way we influence this youth group right here is the way we should influence this entire church. If we have a pastor that is the pastor to this youth group, he allows me to be able to be a Sunday school teacher and a worker with them and a fellow laborer with him, and I am able to influence these teenagers. And all of you in here, though, it's not just pastor and just me and Brother Scott and the workers and Brother Clayton and Brother Jordan. No, it's everyone in here has a duty to be an example to these teens. We all are part of making this youth group work and helping these kids that come in from sixth grade into our youth department and they leave as seniors and they graduate as these graduates this year. It's all of our jobs to influence them. And we do it in different ways. Some of us just do it by notes of encouragement or saying, "Hey, I've been praying for you." Some of us do it by preaching and teaching to them. Some of us do it by driving bus routes and van routes and picking them up and bringing them to our church. Some of us do it by supporting them and helping them get to camp by giving them money when they don't have it. We do it in all sorts of ways. Perhaps the most important of all is prayer. By praying and fasting for these teens, we can make differences in their lives. And that's for our youth group, but that's a picture of this whole church. We should all be leading this church in the same way. We shouldn't just all think, "Oh, I'm to be a leader for the youth group." We shouldn't have lay people in our church thinking, "Oh, I want to influence Mason and Jacob for God, so I'm going to take them under my wing and do that." No, we are to influence everyone. Whether we like it or not, we are all influences for everybody else in this church. Leadership doesn't stop with pastor. It doesn't stop with Sunday school teachers. It doesn't stop with deacons, with junior church workers, with bus teachers, or with bus workers. It goes beyond that, and it extends to the entire body of this church. If we are going as a church to be all that we can be for Christ, if we're going to make all the difference in this world that God wants us to make, we all have to be leaders for Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." We're not all going to be pastor. We're not all going to be an Ehud. We are all called, though, to let people follow us. And if people are following us, that means we're leaders. We're to show people how Christ lived and live like that. You may be thinking, "I'm not a leader. What am I going to do? I'm just a member of the church. I've only been going here a short while. What can I do?" I'm glad you asked that. That was very nice of you. Romans 12, 4 and 5 says, "For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and every one members one of another. The picture there is we all have roles. This church is a body. It is a body that all has a functional part, and that functional part is to do something for Jesus Christ. And if God has placed you here, if you are in this church tonight, no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, if you are a believer, God has a purpose for you in this church, and it is to affect others for Him. It's most evident in our children's ministry. It's most evident in our youth groups and our junior highs and our younger kids, because we can think about how easily they are, how impressionable they are, I should say. And we think about it. I know I'm going to affect a child, especially a young child, my daughter Peyton. She's 10 years old. She's young and impressionable, and I think we all understand that. But as we come to this church day in and day out, we come on Sundays, we come on Wednesdays, we come on Thursdays. If you're in the youth group, come out on Saturdays. We have people around us that encourage us to be better Christians. Because if I come here and nobody else is living like Christ, it's just pastor up here and he's preaching the word and I hear from him, it becomes more and more difficult to live for him. You know this because you guys work out where not everybody's a Christian. You go to school where not everyone is a Christian, whatever the case may be, and you're around that day in and day out, and when you finally get to church on a Sunday or you finally get to church on a Wednesday, it's like a sigh of relief. Something is different about this place. The difference is everybody in here should want to be living like Christ, and when I see that and when I understand that, you know, it's okay if I follow some of what they're doing because they're living for God. And that's what we as Christians are to do. We are to be leaders, each and every one of us. And graduates tonight, I'm going to encourage you. You have been leading this youth group. You seniors are very much the heart and soul of this youth group right now. You are definitely the leaders. The personality on a Thursday night when it's all of you together seems to follow you seniors the most. You guys have been great leaders for the most part. We've had some questionable times. But overall, you guys have been really godly leaders, encouraging people to come to soul winning, encouraging people to come to youth. You have problems with people in the youth group, they work it out. But now that you're leaving the youth group, are you still going to lead? When you go to college, are you still going to lead the people you're going to college with? When you go off to work, are you going to lead your coworkers to Christ? When you get married and have a family, are you going to be the godly leaders in your family? High schoolers, our seniors are leaving us very shortly. We need leaders. Which one of you are going to step up and be the leaders in our youth group? Are you going to be leaders in your schools? And then everyone in here tonight, we are to be leading people to Christ and for Christ. Who are you leading? Ehud was a man living in the midst of a country that had rebelled from God. But God raised him up to bring the nation back to him. And if God can use one man to encourage an entire nation to serve him for 80 years, He can use you to lead the people you know, to lead the people in your school, to lead the people in your work, to lead the people everywhere you are, and especially to lead the people in this church to do right. No matter who you are, no matter what your age, if you are a believer, you are to be leading people to Him and for Him. Again, we're not all going to be pastor. We're not all going to be like Ehud. We're not all going to lead an entire nation back to Him. But if we will work together as a church, we can lead a nation back to Christ. It's our duty. It's our job. I want you to think about this real quick. What if Ehud hadn't done it? Ehud, there's an entire nation, it says, calling to God, saying, I want to have you again. I want to get back to you. I want to get back to your ways. Imagine if Ehud had said no. Who knows how long they would have been in oppression? And what if there's someone in your life tonight that you have the ability to either lead to Christ and God has you to do that, or if there's someone in your life who's backslidden and you have the ability to lead them back to Christ and God has you to do that. You're praying for this person day in and day out. You're laboring in prayer. You're fasting for them. But who knows if you're the one that God wants to use. Is that person not going to get right with Christ because you are not leading like you are supposed to be? What made Ehud different than the rest of Israel is the fact that he understood he was to lead for God. That's what we need to understand tonight. Ehud had a purpose for God, and he was to lead in that direction. And each and every one of us in here have that purpose. And I think it's very easy for us to get involved in our prayer lives and our fasting for others and to dedicate ourselves to that, thinking, God, I want you to change this. I want you to change this. But are you willing to act? Are you willing to take this moment? Are you willing to look to God now and begin serving Him and leading others for Him? look at Ehud. It's unclear if Israel was willing to go out and to fight against the Moabites. You see this plan that Ehud has, I'm sure a plan given to him by God. He goes in and he kills the king and he flees. And then he goes and gets the Israelites and he brings them back and says, let's fight Moab. What choice did Israel have but to fight at this time? He had just killed the king of the enemy. The enemy was going to come and slaughter them. He gave them no other choice other than it's either fight or we are about to be some very miserable folks around here. These people are already oppressing us. They already have us as their slaves. They are likely going to come down and do some bad stuff to us. Ehud gave them no choice but to get right. That is the way Ehud saw it. He saw he was led by God to take a course of action that was going to encourage others to get right, even if it was awkward. This couldn't have been an easy thing to do. I'm guessing these people, when they first heard it, weren't thinking, oh, Ehud, this was such a great plan. No, they were probably like, oh, we got to fight. They didn't have a choice but to rely on God now. They had to go fight and they had to rely on God because otherwise they were probably going to be slaughtered. The Israels went to fight seemingly relying on God because they had no other choice. And this would be a move of faith by Ehud. It'd be a move of faith by anyone. But because Ehud was willing to undertake the role that God had for him, because he was willing to step up and be a leader, because he was willing to take a hard stance in a hard situation, he changed the face of Israel for the next 80 years. Ehud understood God's will for him to be a leader. And because he understood that, and because he acted, he turned around a nation for God. And now today, God wants to use each one of us as members of this church to lead others to him. He wants us to lead the lost to Jesus Christ. He wants us to lead the backslidden back to his loving, accepting arms. Graduates, God wants you to continue leading as you go out from high school. He wants you to lead in your college. He wants you to lead in your employers. He wants you to lead wherever you may go in your lives. Teens, God wants you to step up and take the mantle of leadership in your lives. He wants you to act. He wants you to act right for him. And church member, God wants every one of us in here to lead others to and for him. I think we're pleading with God. We're pleading with him to do something in this world around us, just like Israel did. But the question is tonight, will you step out and start leading for him like Ehud did? I ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, and then Pastor will lead in invitation. Lord God, I thank you so much for this night you've given us. I thank you for your word. I thank you for these graduates we have and just the leaders that they have been till now, Lord God. And I ask that you would encourage them to continue to be leaders. And I ask that our teens would step up and that they would be the godly leaders you'd have them to be. And then I ask that you would help all of us to just seek to lead people to your son, Jesus Christ, because he is the difference this world needs. I thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.